Weir's we brought out 10 things that we can glean from our study that will help us live the Christian life and help us to be fruitful in Christian service. And so we're going to go through these pretty quickly, and hopefully they'll be a blessing and be a reminder of some of the things we looked at as we went through the book of Judges. Remember, the book ended this way in verse 25 of the 21st chapter. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I mentioned that sin runs deep in a society that rejects God. And of course, we are that society today as a whole. We have rejected God, won him out of everything. Separation of church and state is a man-made thing, not in our Constitution, that is constantly thrown in our face. And so the framers decided that God should not be in anything. It's quite the opposite. We are a nation under God, aren't we? By the way, West Virginia early voting begins Wednesday. And you might say, well, I like to vote on Election Day. And I would say to that, amen, so do I. But unfortunately, we have a early voting system. And so what's been pushed this year, which hasn't before, because we have been as conservatives for the most part, have always said, no, I'm waiting till Election Day. Well, there have been issues where, well, sorry, we ran, not here in West Virginia, but sorry, we ran out of paper or whatever. You know, the system's down. And beside that, you don't know, Election Day, you might wake up sick as a dog or some emergency happen or whatever. So I know West Virginia is pretty well set, but there are a lot of down ballot things we need to vote. So please, if you can get out, get out early. All right. 10 things to glean from our study that will help us live the Christian life and be fruitful in Christian service. Number one, or letter A, God is looking for servants. God is always looking for men and women to serve him. And so that means he wants us to be available, doesn't he? Always available, always listening for that still small voice. We never know what God might have us to do. And it may go against our thinking. It might be something that we never thought that we would be involved in. So make yourself available. God, of course, wants us to hear his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He wants us to be empowered by his Holy Spirit. And the reason for both of those is so that we can then accomplish his will and his purposes in our lives. God does have a perfect will for us, doesn't he? Sometimes we fail to listen and to know that perfect will, which comes to us pieces at a time, not all at once. Remember, God also has a permissive will. I'd like to stay in the perfect will, but like you, I often fail as well. God will use the yielded person before he uses even those that are very gifted and very talented. God likes to take the base things. He likes to take those that are least likely in the eyes of the world to succeed and make them giants for his name's sake. We've seen it all through history, haven't we? How God just wants somebody that's yielded, that's available to do his will. And if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, not always looking at ourselves, except for the times we need to examine ourselves, remember that also, by the way, we should not constantly look at our challenges as though they're insurmountable. As Falwell used to say, and I'm paraphrasing, every difficulty is an opportunity. Every difficulty is an opportunity that's disguised or something like that, along those lines. So letter A, God is looking for servants. B, God rules and overrules in history. We see this all throughout the Old Testament, don't we? God rules and overrules in history. Book of Daniel is a great example of how God is in control. And no matter what happens on November 5th, God is still in control. And God, as we'll see in a moment, God does give us the leaders we deserve. So whatever happens, God is still God. And he's still on the throne. And he sets up kings and presidents, and he puts them down according to his will and purposes. The book of Judges, if you recall, showed us that God can work in and through all nations, Jews and Gentiles. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, the Bible says God has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God is the God of history. The deists believe that God created everything to kind of step back, kind of like a clockmaker winding a clock and stepping away and letting it tick. God did not step away from mankind. He did not step away from his creation. God is still in control. And of course, Gentile nations have been used in history to chasten Israel. And maybe that's a part of what's happening now, to try to prepare them to open their eyes and see Jesus as Messiah. They're still waiting for another Messiah. How many Messiahs are there? Who is that Messiah? The Lord Jesus Christ, for sure. God is in control. You know, a verse that we often quote, Romans 8:28, "For I know that all things work together for good to them that are the called, to them that love God, and to them that are the called according to his purpose." And so all things work together. What sometimes looks to us like an accident is not at all an accident. It's an appointment. Our God knows what's happening. Even in the dark days of Judges, God was on the throne. God was accomplishing his purposes. We can trust him. Even in these dark days that we're going through in our nation and around the world, things aren't looking good. We are as close to World War III as we have ever been, probably since 1962. Those of you that are historians, Becca, you're a history major. What happened in 1962? You were very young back then. The Bay of Pigs, wasn't that 62? That was the closest we came to when Russia brought, they were bringing missiles into Cuba. Remember that? Yeah, remember that Cuban Missile Crisis? During that same period, I think the Bay of Pigs might have been earlier, huh? Yeah, yeah. Thank you. See, you're a lot older than me. I was a kid then. You were like, what, in your 20s? You started saying something, Gary? You were reacting? You were trying to react? All right. So even in the dark days we're in now, we can trust our God. See, God gives nations the leaders they deserve. Again, no accidents. God gives us what we deserve. The character of the judges got weaker and weaker. He had good men like Gideon, but even Gideon often failed in his trusting God. Jephthah, Samson, they all finished the work God wanted them to do, but they weren't very good as spiritual leaders of the nation. And so we have to be mindful of that. All of God's servants have flaws, don't they? We're all made of flesh and bone. We all fail. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's no excuse for us to sin and not do our best. Even when we do sin, it doesn't mean we have an excuse, because we're human beings. We have the Holy Spirit of God as born-again believers. We don't have to sin. We sin because we want to, not because we have to. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. Christian character, God wants us to strive to be like Christ, building our character, developing our skills, all for the glory of God. We need both integrity and skillfulness. In Psalm 78, Psalm 78, verse 72. The last verse of Psalm 78. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Talking about David. He chose David also his servant, took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Then letter D, God graciously forgives and gives us a fresh start. You've heard the saying, God is a God of second chances. Well, God is a God of many chances. He's a God of grace and mercy. And he knows exactly what we're made of, doesn't he? He knows our weaknesses. No matter where we, you know, Adam tried to hide from God in the garden, didn't work out. God knew where he was the whole time. We can try to hide. The old saying, we can run, but we can't hide. Judges shows us the historical cycle of God's chastening when we disobey God. We see that cycle in Judges. You know, the people would do what was right in their own eyes. They would fall into idolatry and other grievous sins. And God would judge them because God said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, I'll chasten you. The pattern's the same today. If we obey God, he blesses us. If we disobey, he chastens us because he chastens those whom he loves, doesn't he? So we see that cycle where the people would sin, God would chasten them, they would cry out to God, God would then send a judge, a deliverer, and they would be delivered, and things would get better, and then they would turn away from God again, and then he would chasten them, and then they cry out to him again, he would send another judge, and it went on and on and on and on. Time and time again, Israel was taught, obey me, get blessed. Disobey me, get cursed. Now, God has never promised New Testament believers a life of ease, has he? Matter of fact, Paul said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peter wrote a lot about suffering, didn't he? Suffering is a Christian. Jesus dealt with it in the Sermon on the Mount, how we'll be reviled and how we'll be rejected. And I know the greatest example of all of that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if he had to go through what he went through and the apostles had to go through what they went through, I don't think that we can expect not to go through some difficult days. We have to be ready, spiritually prepared. We don't obey God to get things from God. We don't obey God to escape hard times because they're going to come. And if we live that way or thought that way, isn't that more of a contract rather than a relationship? We have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in a relationship, we don't expect anything. I mean, when I say that, what I mean is we should not expect that God is not sometimes going to allow things to get difficult. The best way to build faith is to go through tough times. Endurance spiritually. None of us like it. We don't pray for it. Oh, God, please bless me with a difficult time. We like things to go well. We like things to be easy. And that's human. But we cannot shake our fist in the face of God if things don't go the way we think they should. Because God is in control. He's a creator. Number five, or letter E. God's word endures forever. Remember that verse in Isaiah that we had at Good News Club? And we sang it. That was one of the favorites. How's it go again? I forgot.
Grass faded, the flowers.
Yeah, there you go. I don't remember the tune, though. Grass fade.
The flowers fade.
Yeah. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. The judges could only do what they did because they believed God's word. In the book of Hebrews, the great faith chapter, which is chapter what? 13. No?
11.
11. Chapter 11. Trying to confuse me, aren't you? Trying to lead me astray. Chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight with the armies of the aliens. Might as well read 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And so the judges did what they did because of faith. They believed God. They took God at his word. And I think it's a good prayer request. Lord, build my faith, increase my faith, that I won't doubt you. But even when the judge's faith was weak, God took that little seed of faith, you know, like Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed is powerful enough to say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Mustard seed at that time was the smallest seed known to man. But what does God want to do? He wants to take that seed. He wants it to grow. He wants our faith to grow strong. So we will honor our God by trusting him and glorifying him through obedience. Disobedience and unbelief cannot cancel or alter God's word. God's word is forever the same. It endures forever. As a matter of fact, there's a warning in the latter part of the book of Revelation about adding to or taking away from the word of God. If we do that, the curses contained in the book will be added to us. And I don't know about you. I don't want any curses. But there are denominations, even Christian, there are Christian denominations that think that they receive special word from God apart from Scripture. That's adding to the word of God. We have all the word we're going to hear from God. Now, God does speak to our hearts, and he guides us and directs us, but that's not in line with Scripture, where we can say, I got a special revelation from God. Now, there's one word of God, and we've got it in its entirety. Also, God's character never changes, does it? Warren Wiersbe wrote this, and I quote, as his children, we live on promises, not explanations. God doesn't have to explain to us what he's doing or why he's doing it that way. He will always give his servants just the promises they need to get the job done. End of quote. Letter F. God uses human government to accomplish his will. God uses human government to accomplish his will. There was no king in Israel during the time of the judges, but God was still working. Of course, he desired that they would recognize him as king. And when they finally did get a king, as we'll see as we continue our study in the Old Testament, when they did get a king, things didn't work out that great, did they? As a matter of fact, the first king turned out to be, I don't want to say a miserable failure in so many ways. It's a tragedy what happened to Saul. And having a king also did not guarantee that the people would obey God. They still fell into sin, didn't they? And even the kings did. Look what David did. God established governments, didn't he? That's one of the institutions that God established. He established the family. He established the government. He established the church. God is the creator God, and he created all these things. Having a king did not help Israel. Having a president doesn't guarantee that we're going to be a nation that honors God. We see that right now, don't we? But governments cannot limit God. God established governments, but they cannot limit God. They can try to throw God out of everything in our society. That's not going to limit God. God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's still sovereign. Romans 13 teaches us that God ordained government for our good. Now, we may not respect those that are in office. God does not command that we respect those that are in office, because there are some in office that are not worthy of our respect. But we have to respect the office. We need to respect the office because God has allowed it to exist. God always accomplishes his purposes no matter what the system of government is. You know, God is building his church in China. China hates God, outlawed a lot of religion. And of course, there are many underground churches, people meeting in their homes in different places, hopefully not getting caught by the government because they face jail and even worse. But the church is, you can't, it's like having a fire and pouring gasoline on and expect the fire to go out. The more that Satan tries to stamp out the church, the stronger the church gets. Proverbs 14:34, you know this verse. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then G, when God's people are unspiritual, a nation will decay. When God's people are unspiritual. Now, we know that lost people are not spiritual. And God doesn't expect anything out of lost people. He doesn't expect lost people to live like Christians, but he also does not expect Christians to live like lost people. And we're seeing a turning away from Christians being light, the light. We are to be, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. We are to be his light. And what light does is it exposes and expels darkness. And light will show the wickedness of the world, won't it? And we're beginning to lose that impact on society. And then we're also to be the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative, but salt also can help heal a wound. You know how good that feels. I mentioned this Wednesday night. You know how good it feels when you get salt in a cut. But salt's doing good work when you get it in that cut. It's cleansing it. We need to be light and salt because God wants us to positively impact society. I think we're losing a lot of that. And it's tragic. G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher and commentator from the 20th century, wrote this, and I quote, "The church did the most for the world when the church was the least like the world." End of quote. Today, too many churches think in order to reach the world, they got to be like it. That's backward. The more we're like the world, the less likely we are to reach those out in the world. Because why would they want what we have when we basically tell them we're no different than you? We're the same. Now, we are in humanity the same. But we're new creations in Christ if we've been born again. The more Israel became like the pagan nations around them, the weaker they became. When we think about what's happening in our nation, we might be tempted to blame it all on those, you know, that are pushing the trans agenda and putting in schools, and we might tend to blame the abortionists and all we can make a list of sins and say, well, the reason our nation is going down the tubes is because of all these things. Well, certainly that's a contribution. But I think the biggest reason why we are in decline is because of Christians. Look how many decades we stuck our head in the sand, did nothing. You know, Satan didn't do all this overnight. This has been going on for decades. Decades and decades. And we just watched. So we can't really be shocked of what's happening to our nation, because a lot of it we went along with. You say, well, we didn't go along with it. Well, if we didn't go along with it, we certainly didn't say anything about it. And if you don't say anything about something that's evil, then you're kind of putting a stamp of approval on it, aren't we? Sinners act like sinners, and God knows it. But saints should act like saints. God expects it. He expects us to act like his children if we truly are his children. Compromising believers weaken the home, they weaken the church, and they weaken our nation. And that's what's happened. Our churches, for the most part, are weak. H, God doesn't tell the whole story all at once. Aren't you glad that God doesn't tell the whole story all at once concerning our individual lives? Now, we have the whole story in the Bible as far as how things began with God's creation and how they end with the return of Christ and the judgment of the world and the setting up of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I think about, you know, my football team, being I'm from Wisconsin, I grew up since I was old enough to know what a football was. I've been a Green Bay Packer fan, and sometimes I don't get to watch the game. It's not on television here, or I miss it for whatever reason, and I might DVR it. Now, if I hear that they lost, I normally won't watch the game because I don't need to see them lose. A lot of times I will try not to find out the score so I can watch it as though it hasn't been played yet. But then there are times when I want to know the score, or maybe Becca lets it slip and says, Green Bay won. I say, oh, man, I wish you hadn't told me. I wanted to watch it. Well, I'll still put it on and watch it if they won, but I'm so relaxed because I know how it turns out. It's a wonderful thing. I can just sit there and munch down on some snacks and got a smile on my face. They might be losing at halftime, but I know how it ends. Well, that's exactly how it should be for us in the Christian life. The things get bad. There are episodes in life that are tragic and awful and painful. And look at the hurricanes and all the damage and devastation and loss of life and all the things that are happening. But we know how it's going to end. Amen? We know how it's going to end. I got a call from Kathy earlier in the week, and she was telling me that she had talked to Darlene, Gary's sister, and told her that we were praying for her, and I'd prayed for her. And she asked if maybe I could call her, or maybe she could call me, and she would like for me to pray for her personally. And so I hung up from Kathy, and I called her, and we talked for a good while. She sounded really good. We talked for a good while, and I talked to her about her salvation, making sure she was ready, and we talked about various things. And I wanted to leave her with, you know, as a child of God, we know that when we leave this earth, we're going to be in the presence of God. And so we don't have to fear death. I'm apprehensive about it because I've never gone through it. You know, you wonder what's it like, you know. I'm not afraid to die. And so we had a good conversation, but she lied to me. I was disappointed. She said, Gary and Kathy speak highly of me. I knew that was a lie. Gary maybe. Yeah, Gary probably does. Yeah. But anyway, we had a good conversation, and I wanted to encourage her that we know how it ends. Even if God decides to take you home, and he can heal you, as long as you got breath in your body, I told her, there's always hope. Never lose hope. God can heal. I've seen him do it. I've seen hopeless situations where doctors gave up and turned around and God healed them. But I said, don't fret. And she said, you know, I have real peace now. I when I first heard the news, I was very, very afraid. She said, I'm not anymore. So pray for Darlene. We learned a lot about the judges. We learned about Deborah and Gideon and Jephthah and Samson. But we didn't learn about a lot about Shamgar. Remember the name Shamgar or Jair? Or what was it, Tola? Not a lot is written in Judges about these people. But they accomplished things for God. And God keeps good records of all that we do in his name for his glory. And one day, Jesus is coming back. We're going to, of course, be received either through death or rapture. And he's bringing his reward with him. We're going to lay those rewards at his feet. We mentioned about God. I don't know if it was probably last week when I mentioned about other folks here in the church that do so much behind the scenes. And sometimes we don't realize all that gets done. And they're not recognized. People aren't recognized for all the hard work behind the scenes. But God knows. God's got it all written down. He knows. And God will give a reward. God didn't put everything in his word about all of his servants. But yet it doesn't minimize the importance of every single child of God. And keep in mind that each of us has at least one spiritual gift. And God expects us to use it for his glory. So we should be busy doing what God has called us to do. All the people in Israel during the judges did not know everything God was doing. Remember, there were certain pockets, certain areas where God was working, and maybe somebody in the northern part of Israel didn't hear about what was happening in the southern part. Not everything was national. There were little things happening around throughout the nation. One area didn't see the hand of God at work in a particular period, but another area did. So we must remember that ourselves. God may not be doing everything we think he should be doing right here in this place at this time, but God is still very much alive, very much active, and there is a revival in certain parts of the world, maybe even in our nation somewhere. I haven't heard of any. I've heard about emotional things that happen in colleges and stuff, but I'm talking about a real revival that has a lasting impact on lives. Certainly there's a revival in certain parts of the world. And there may be a revival in our nation again. We don't know. That would be great. Letter I, God still blesses those who live by faith. God still blesses those who live by faith. Faith is, of course, believing God no matter what the circumstances. Taking God at his word, understanding that God is God. And we know the word of God says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Paul wrote to the Romans that if it's not of faith, it's sin in Romans 14, I believe, verse 23. So God wants us to exercise faith, of course, in order to be saved. We have to exercise faith to get a hold of the grace. Because we are saved by grace through the avenue of faith. If we don't believe God's word, we can't possibly accept Christ or receive Christ into our hearts and lives as Savior and Lord. We have to believe in order to receive. Faith takes God at his word, and faith also does what God says to do. If we believe that God is God, we're going to want to do what he calls us to do. And of course, if we serve God without faith, that's a futile exercise. God honors even weak faith. He seeks to make it stronger. And in order to make faith stronger, we've got to exercise it. If our bodies are going to be stronger, we've got to exercise our bodies. If our faith is going to grow stronger, we've got to exercise our faith. And then lastly, letter J, God's story isn't finished yet. God's story is not finished yet. The book of Judges was depressing, wasn't it? What an awful period of history. True, God still worked, and there were little glimmers of joy. But for the most part, it was a depressing book. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Judges and seven other books in the Old Testament begin with, "Now it came to pass." Literally, "now it came to pass" should be translated, "and it was." And it was. Why? Because they are all a part of a continuing story that God was writing, which meant that God was still working. And again, I've got great news for you this morning. God is still working. God is still working. Wiersbe writes, "God assures us that righteousness will triumph, evil will be judged, and faith will be rewarded." End of quote. None of us, not a single one of us, no human being in history other than the Lord Jesus himself, can do everything. But we can all do something. Would you agree with that? Can't do everything. But we can all do something. So be available. Be available. Open your heart to God. Say, "Lord, I'm available. However you want to use me, I will do what you want me to do." All right, any questions or comments? That's the end of Judges. We made it. We made it through another book of the Bible. The study began on my birthday, March the 10th. And today is October the 20th. And we are officially finished with Judges. Now, what I want to do, thank you, Scotty. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is, I was going to, at first I told you in Sunday school we're going to take a break between Judges. We already did Ruth, so we're going to go right into 1 Samuel. And then I said, no, I'm going to do that at church time, remember? Well, I rethought it, and I don't think that would be wise to do what I want to do at church time. So I'm going to fall back to the original plan. We're gonna do a little mini study in between Judges and 1 Samuel. I want to talk a little bit. Things are so much different in this ministry, and it's been in early in my ministry when I used to have, you know, a training union. They called it at 6 o'clock Sunday night before the 7 o'clock service, and I teach on various subjects. I would teach teachers. I would do we would do series on evangelism. All kinds of different things at 6 o'clock training you. We didn't have it all the time, but we'd have it on a regular basis. So something that I've neglected is evangelism. And so I want to talk a little bit. I'm not sure how long. It's not going to be a very long, long, long study, but I want us to talk about, because I think we might be losing sight of the responsibility that we have in this area that's critical. Because, again, if the church doesn't grow, it's going to die. The Lord tarries is coming. Most of us are seniors. And I know we don't want to necessarily think about it, but, you know, our time, there's an appointed time. We don't know when it is. And when we're older, we expect it more so than someone that is young, though it can happen any time. So we're going to do that for a while. Then we'll get into 1 Samuel. And then we're going to start Titus next week. We're going to finish up Colossians. We may finish a teeny bit early this morning. But that's okay. We'll fellowship since we're having a meal afterward anyway, right? But normally I say that and I end up going late. So we'll see what happens. All right, pray for the church. Pray that God would continue to bring folk in. Remember that Yvonne and David are traveling again today. I think they'll be back next week. I did get a hold of Tim and Michelle. They said they're going to be here. And I hope that Nelson and Rebecca be able to make it. Nancy she was going to come, and she texted me this morning early and said that she has a lot of pain. She had surgery, and so she's not going to be here today. So remember to pray for her. Pray for our nation. Election coming up. Please, please, please vote. And talk to your family members and friends and neighbors. Everyone needs to vote. It's an important thing, especially in this one. Hurricane victims, we're going to be talking about what we can do to try to help alleviate some of the burden. We can't do much, but we can do something, right? Pray for our troops. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. Our missionaries, pray for Hope House here in town. Mark and his health situation. Rhonda, as she has to deal with Mark's illness, and then her mom. How's mom getting along?
I saw her the other day for lunch, and she was eating really well. She seems satisfied with where she's at.
Good.
She doesn't have any complaints so far.
Does she have much pain?
She doesn't say that she does.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
What about Mark? How's he?
He's doing okay.
Doing okay. How are you doing? Good. Good. Pray for Bill. He overworked his kidneys, and they're shouting at him, so pray God will keep him going. So far, so good. And his blood pressure, how's that been doing?
Yeah.
Up and down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we're praying for you. Pray for Mary. Notice she's not here. Normally they'll let. I got a feeling they're gonna roll in for church. She's been having a tough time. Pray for her. Pray that God will give strength to Leonard as well. Pray for Ruth, Rebecca Force's mom. She is eating some Parade foods by mouth, so that's a good thing. Pray for Fred Nandale's niece, Ashley. Is there anything new about Ashley, Ms. Nandale?
She ain't got the results yet.
No?
Should be, I'm going to say Monday or Tuesday we should have them.
Okay.
But the time I get them, I don't know.
Okay. Keep praying for Ashley. Continue to pray for Darlene. And Kathy, he's having surgery January the 7th, so pray for her. And she's a sensitive little thing, so don't bombard her with 400 questions. She might run out of the church screaming. So maybe sometime she'll fill you in, okay? Maybe you should probably just tell everybody what's happening, and then you won't get any questions.
It's not that serious.
It is serious. Go ahead, let them know. Come on.
Well, because my knee I've had to have knee replacement for years, and I've been putting it off, and I'm thankful to be helping others, but I've neglected my own self. So the doctor doesn't want to put it off any longer because of my age. So it's planned for January instead of December, thanks to our pastor, because he said, who wants to get surgery in December? So I did call Friday, and they moved it up. They moved it to January the 7th.
Amen. But and amazingly, you told me you don't have pain from it.
No pain.
And it's bone on bone, and she doesn't have pain.
Except for one place, and he knew exactly what it was here.
Wow.
And but when it happens, it doesn't make me fall, but it does make me bend over. So anyway, scheduled for January. But a lot's involved. I mean, I have to be cleared by the doctor, make sure this and everything's going okay, so... Anyway.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Now you won't get bombarded. What are you having done? What's going on? Are you okay?
And everybody better be careful in the church because Papa and I both got hearing aids this week. Hey.
Wow.
And so everybody better be careful what they say about me because I might hear them.
You hear that, guys? We can't talk about them anymore.
Oh, it's so nice getting old. I love it.
Wow. Did you guys hear that? She finally admitted it. Finally admitted it. All right. Pray for Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Anna Dale has a biopsy of her stomach on October the 31st. How you been feeling? Kind of, eh?
Yeah, I have a little problem every once in a while, but I'm fine.
You're tough. You'd never say you weren't fine, would you?
I probably would, but gets bad enough.
Gets bad enough.
I'm over it.
Judy Shade, pray for her. She's got a situation, my goodness. Just really pray for Judy. Ronnie Hammond is in Georgetown Hospital. He had some tubing put in a couple of years ago. And like going from the pancreas and gallbladder, all, some tubing in there, and it got plugged up. So they went in there and tried to fix it, and it didn't work. So they had to go back in. They're going to try something else. And if that doesn't work, then they're going to have to actually replace it. And he called me the other day, and he's going to let me know. He was supposed to have the second procedure, I think, Thursday or Friday. He was hoping to get it done. And if it worked, he could be back in Winchester Hospital by the weekend. But I haven't heard, so I don't know what's going on. And then also, I mentioned David and Yvonne are traveling, so keep them in mind. All right, let's stand together, take these requests to our Lord in prayer. Ask him to intervene for us. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the church, for those that are a part of it. Thank you for our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us, dying upon that cross. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that cannot say with absolute assurance that when I die or when the rapture occurs, I'm going to be with you, I pray, Lord, today would be the day of salvation or the day of assurance. I pray, Father, for our nation. I pray, God, you'd save America. You know our deepest needs. And I pray, Father, that there be a change of leadership, that our nation could again go back toward morality and decency and get away from all these crazy far-left radical ideas and things that are displeasing to you, that are an abomination. I pray, Father, that you would bless Israel with victory. I pray that our nation would keep our nose out of their business, support them in any way we can. And Lord, we pray that ultimately these evil terrorists would be defeated, disbanded. Once and for all, there'd be peace in the region. We pray, Father, for Russia and Ukraine. They'd sit down and work out a deal. I'm saddened to hear that a deal was available before this thing even started. And the administration rejected the deal and war ensued. God, I pray that this thing would end. So many thousands and thousands of people have been killed. We pray for those that are having upcoming surgeries and tests. We pray, Lord, that you would give the doctors and nurses wisdom. Thank you for those that you've healed. Thank you for those that have gone through surgery successfully. We pray for Darlene again this morning, Lord, if it be your will and bring glory to your name that you'd heal her. We know you can. We pray for Mark. We pray for Rhonda's mom. Pray for Mary. We pray, Lord, for healing for each of these folk and others that we called out to you, Ruth. And we thank you for what you have done. Lord, bless the coming service. We pray you bless our fellowship later and our meeting. Lord, may you be glorified through it all. We love you. We thank you for how you bless us, how you provide for us, how you keep us. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.